I think we maybe lost some people over lunch, but we should continue because, as I said, we have a agenda and we will continue. Well, I'll start now with primary financial statements and I give the word to Michelle.
Hello. The purpose of this meeting is to seek your views on staff proposals for introducing two subtotals.
Somebody
the statement of financial performance, so the income statement. And those are the earnings before finance, income, expenses and tax, and the management performance measure. Now this meeting is quite timely because we plan to present our proposals about these two subtotals at the board meeting next week. So any feedback we get today, we'll be able to feedback to the board and the board will be able to consider that when discussing the staff proposals. So these two subtotals that we're talking about today, are that we're just presenting the staff proposals at the moment because the board hasn't taken any tentative decisions on these subtotals. So I'm going to start by giving a bit of background and then covering our proposals for EBIT. I'm then going to pass to Kachiro, who will talk about the management performance measure. So first, a reminder of where we're at the project. This is on moving on to slide four, sorry. It's an early stage research project. In December 2016, the board discussed the scope of the project and based on our research and outreach, tentatively decided the project should focus on targeted improvements to the statement of financial performance and the cash flow statement. Now, the board hasn't yet decided whether the first due process document will be an exposure draft or a discussion paper, and it will decide this later on in the project after we've discussed some of the topics.
Is there somebody on the phone? And if so, can you please put on mute?
You're not supposed to dial.
No. You should be on the phone.
Nobody. Nobody's on it. There's no dialing today. Tomorrow.
I don't know what it is. It does not stop you, though. Maybe your pop's coming.
Is there someone on the phone? There's not meant to be.
Maybe continue.
He was in the office.
It's gone. I think it was their phone. It's gone.
It's gone. Okay.
Sorry for that, Michelle.
At its March board meeting, the board started discussing the staff proposals for the two subtotals, but didn't make any decisions about them because it wanted us to develop our proposals further. So moving on to slide five, so why are we considering introducing these two subtotals? Well, we hear opposing views about the need for comparability versus flexibility in the statement of financial performance. For example, some investors and analysts tell us that the lack of comparability negatively affects the usefulness of the information for them. However, some preparers tell us that it's important to allow flexibility for them to tell their view of performance. And so there is this conflict between comparability and flexibility, and so we want to find the right balance to help this. So moving on to slide six, more specifically, some users tell us that they want additional required comparable subtotals in the statement of financial performance. Whereas on the other hand, some preparers, they say they want the flexibility to use management-defined performance measures. So we think that introducing a comparable EBIT subtotal with a management performance measure could help to strike a good balance. For example, the EBIT subtotal would provide a comparable starting point for users' analysis, whereas we hope the management performance measure could still provide a measure that management uses to report their view of performance. And the explanation and disclosure of the reconciling items between the two would provide the necessary transparency and also help users to see how the management performance measure differs between different companies. So moving on to slide eight, I'll first cover our proposal to require an EBIT subtotal. Now, at this stage, we're just looking at a straightforward non-financial entity. And we found that many companies present an EBIT, or more commonly, an operating profit that's determined like an EBIT subtotal, that's calculated as profit before finance income and expenses and tax. Now, whilst we haven't seen much diversity in how the tax component's calculated, we see a lot of difference in which type of income and expenses that companies are classifying as finance income or expenses. So if we want to introduce a comparable EBIT subtotal into the statement of financial performance, we think we're going to need to describe what we mean by finance income and expenses. Now, we received feedback from CMAC and GPF members that in the past that you'd like us to follow a principles-based approach to classifying and presenting items in the financial statements rather than developing strict rules for these. So the best approach may be for us to develop a clear principles about what we consider to be finance income and expense, and then see if that gets us where we want to get to. And if not, then we could later consider whether we need additional guidance or whether we need to prescribe the treatment for some income and expenses. Moving on to slide 9, we presented our initial proposals about EBIT to the board at the March board meeting, and these are represented on slide 9. Now, based on our outreach, EBIT is commonly used by users of financial statements to facilitate comparison of companies with different capital structures and different tax situations. So we think our objective in requiring an EBIT subtotal should be both to provide a comparable measure of performance and also to facilitate comparisons of companies with different capital structures and tax situations. At the March board meeting, we proposed to define finance income and expenses in a way to help this comparison, and that is that finance income and expenses would be defined as income and expenses related to an entity's capital structure. The board was generally supportive of the direction we were going in, but they asked us to develop further whether we consider capital structure to be an appropriate term, and also explain what we mean by it, and also whether any additional guidance is necessary to support our description. Now, we understand the term capital structure is widely used to the way an entity finances its business. And as you can see on slide 10, we've got a spectrum of different types of liabilities. Now, some people view the capital structure of an entity quite narrowly as a debt or equity financing. And in line with this, some liabilities are clearly part of the capital structure for a non-financial entity, such as bank loans. However, it's less clear for the other liabilities that are shown on the spectrum on slide 10. And also based on our research, capital structure is often viewed as including excess cash and temporary investments of excess cash, because the way that the entity manages its excess cash is interrelated with its decisions on raising finance. For example, an entity may choose to invest excess cash temporarily rather than immediately pay off a bank loan. So moving on to slide 11, coming back to our March proposal, we propose finance income and expenses should include income and expenses related to capital structure. Slide 11 shows the staff slightly more developed thinking that it will be presenting at the June board meeting. And the staff are recommending a principles-based approach to describing capital structure and defining capital structure as consisting of equity, assets and liabilities arising from financing activities, and cash and investments of excess cash. And we think defining capital structure in relation to financing activities is a good starting point and is consistent with our standard on cash flow statements. However, to ensure we get a high level of comparability, we're also proposing to develop guidance which clarifies what we mean by financing activities, as our existing definition is quite loose, and also using cash and cash equivalents as a proxy for an excess cash notion. Our financing activities currently in our standard IS7 are defined as activities that result in the changes in the size and composition of equity and borrowings of the entity. Now, based on this definition that focuses on borrowings and equity, We think things like defined benefit liabilities, decommissioning liabilities, and other long-term provisions wouldn't be part of capital structure because they don't involve the borrowing of funds or resources. So following a pure capital structure approach to defining finance income and expenses would have an outcome where the imputed interest on those items would not be part of finance income and expense. For example, the net interest on a defined benefit liability wouldn't be an expense related to capital structure. Now, we understand this would differ from how these expenses are currently classified in practice in most cases and existing requirements in IFRS standards. For example, if BRIC 1 requires the interest on decommissioning provisions to be part of financing expenses. So our proposal for June is actually to go one step further than capital structure, and we're going to be proposing to the board that we show separate line items below EBIT. Firstly, a line item for income and expenses related to the capital structure, so essentially all the income and expenses on the entity's borrowings. And secondly, separately, we'll be showing the imputed interest on assets and liabilities that are not part of a capital structure. So, for example, the interest on defined benefit liabilities and long-term provisions. So if somebody wanted to calculate a pure capital structure EBIT, they could add back to the presented EBIT the interest on items that are not part of capital structure. Now, this is quite a lot of detail to take in. I'd say that the main thing to take note of for the questions at the end of the slides is our proposal is to follow a principles-based approach with sufficient clarity around those principles to achieve quite a comparable finance income and expense across different entities. And hence, therefore, we'd have a comparable EBIT subtotal. We're also proposing that companies would show a breakdown of what's in capital structure and also what finance income and expenses is composed of. So moving on to slide 12, when developing our proposal, we also considered an approach where we would follow a management view rather than develop principles that management needed to follow. Slide 12 just shows the advantages and disadvantages that we consider when looking at that approach. Now, the staff are recommending to propose to the board not to pursue an approach where it's a management's view of capital structure, because whilst it would provide additional information about what management considers to be part of its capital structure, we note that it wouldn't result in comparability of finance income and expenses. And so it would not result in a comparable EBIT, which we consider to be our primary objective in bringing the EBIT into the financial statement, into the statement of financial performance. So I don't know if there's any urgent questions. Otherwise, I'd suggest leaving the questions till the end of the presentation and pass it over to Kachil.
Thank you. So let us move on to the other subtotal. Please take a look at slide 14. This is the slide for the other subtotal, which we currently call Management Operating Performance Measure. Please take a look at example on the right side. So as Michelle mentioned, we are trying to introduce, or we are exploring, introducing two subtotals now. One is EBIT, which we try to meet the needs for the comparability. And the other one is Management Operating Performance Measure. These days, increasing number of companies are presenting two sets of operating profit type subtotals. One is EBIT type operating profit, and the other one is further excluding some items, for example, infrequently occurring items or some non-recurring items, and they present, sometimes they call core operating profit or underlying operating profit, something like that. And what we think is by presenting EBIT subtotal and this management subtotal, then we achieve providing information for both comparability and flexibility. And in terms of the management operating performance measure, the big question is, what should be the constraints for this subtotal? Because we are aiming to introduce a flexible subtotal, shall we allow any kind of subtotal? Or still, we should have some constraints That's the one fundamental question we'd like to discuss further in the slide 16. And the other fundamental question here is how we can provide transparency about this flexible subtotal. Because this subtotal is flexible, different entities present different subtotals. So it's kind of fundamental to provide sufficient information so that user can analyze how different these subtotals are among different entities. So transparency is also the fundamental question we have to solve. So on the slide 15, before moving on to transparency and discipline or constraints, we'd like to have some picture about what are the adjustments companies are making. So in addition to EBIT, company present some management performance measure, and in many cases, company exclude infrequent items, for example, impairment of goodwill or one-time restructuring cost. In addition to that, some company exclude some frequent items as well, so amortization of intangible assets or share-based payments. And if we look at these adjustments from different characteristics, sometimes company also exclude non-operating items as well. Sometimes it's like investing type activity, for example, impairment loss of investment property or dividend income. So while the question is, chances are we can classify these adjustments to different characteristics so that user can understand what are the reasons why companies are excluding these items based on different characteristics. Having said that, moving on to the slide 16, when we think about constraints, there are various approaches to create constraints. Just an example, we presented 1-5, and one is very strict approach. So maybe we can just allow adjustments for IFRS defined infrequent and or non-operating items. So then companies are restricted to exclude certain items only infrequent and non-operating defined by IFRS standards. That's the most strict approach. And the other opposite spectrum is very flexible approach, which is 5. No constraints. Because we are aiming at flexible subtotal, maybe we should allow flexibility and you know, just company can decide what kind of subtotal they want to present. And 2, 3, 4 are somewhere in between. For example, 2, this one is allowing infrequent or non-operating items. However, definition is made by entity. So entity define what is the infrequent and what is the non-operating, and based on that, entity excludes certain items consistently. And 3 is we ask company to define what is the performance measure company wants to present, and based on that self-definition, company can continue to present their performance measure. So that's the approach 3. And approach 4 is as long as item is compliant with IFRS requirements, company can exclude any items. So we can have various alternatives, and I'd like to hear your view about what kind of constraints can serve the needs for the performance reporting. And slide 17 is transparency side, how we can achieve the transparency. I put 4 boxes, and first box is a separate presentation of infrequent items. So the idea is maybe we can allow the exclusion of both infrequent items and frequent items. At the same time, maybe we require separately presenting these two groups. Then users can know which items are excluded because of the infrequency, and they use these numbers when they calculate persistent income type of measure. And the second item is footnote side, what kind of information we require in the footnote. So maybe we can require disclosure of why an entity the performance measure reflect its performance. So such kind of information allow users to understand why this measure reflect entity's performance, and also ask entities to define what is the infrequency in their term, and that allow management users to make judgment about entity's performance measure. And the third box is require versus allow. Right now, we do not require this kind of management subtotal. However, in practice, many companies just present this information outside of the financial statement. And some users say that if we can require these measures inside of financial statement, there is a benefit because auditor will look at that, and also we can impose some disclosure, and that will enhance the transparency. And even some preparers support this approach because in some cases, when company try to present this kind of management measure in financial statement, regulator challenge, why do you present this kind of thing inside of financial statement? But if standards require presenting this kind of management performance measure inside of financial statements, so preparer can present this measure without a problem. So that's the third box. And the fourth box is historical adjustments. So maybe instead of having just 1 or 2 years adjustment, maybe we can require 5 years history of the adjustments. And this allow users to judge whether infrequent items are really infrequent or not. So chances are restructuring expenses are defined as infrequent, but occurring every year, something like that. So this is one of the ideas to enhance the transparency. Just briefly recap the questions we are asking here today. We have 3 sets of questions, and slide 18 is for the EBIT. So the 2 questions, one is, do you agree with introducing the EBIT subtotal, and which try to achieve the comparable starting point for users' analysis, regardless of the different capital structure? And also, we are asking whether you prefer clear definition and principle to achieve higher comparability, or rather we try to introduce management view type EBIT. So chances are financing can be different among different entities, and how we should allow the flexibility. And slide 19 is for the management operating performance measure. So like core operating profit or underlying operating profit type of question. The first question is, do you agree with introducing this measure in the financial statement? And the second question is whether we should just allow or we should require. And the third question is about constraints. And the fourth question is about transparency. And the last slide on slide 20 is whether we can achieve comparability and flexibility by these subtotals or not, and if there's any other ideas, we'd like to hear that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any urgent questions now before we go into the breakout groups? It's not the case. Then we're doing that and coming back, including a short break, then at 3 o'clock.